If you would, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to show you something tonight that sort of leaped out at me. Preparing your mind for miracles. The mind of man, it plays an important part in the development of a Christian. And the Bible talks about developing the spirit of your mind. That's, I want you to keep that phrase in mind, not just renewing your mind, but developing the spirit of your mind. That's what leaped off the pages at me. And the way you develop your spirit of your mind is through prayer, through meditation, and study of God's word. Exactly what Sister Julia Page was just talking about. The Apostle Paul tells us to put off the old man and put on the new man. Look at Ephesians 4:22. Paul said that you put off concerning the former conversation, that's your former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And look at this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I want you to keep that phrase in your mind, in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. So we've been made the righteous of God. We are to live holy. We're to put off the old, lay aside every weight that would easily beset us, run our race with patience, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. He gave us the faith to start this race, and he will develop our faith and finish our faith so we can finish our journey victoriously. Now, the battle which will determine your victory or your defeat in life as a Christian, it will ultimately take place in the spirit of your mind. In the spirit of your mind. So my subject tonight is preparing your mind for miracles. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, renew our minds, renew the spirit of our mind. Let your word, Lord, go through our mind then into our spirit so that when we think, Lord, that our spirits automatically tell our minds to think what thus saith the Lord. And we praise you and thank you for that. Church said in Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter talks about the trials of our faith. And now look at 1 Peter 1:13. He talks about the trials of our faith. And then he said, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter is telling us to prepare our minds for action, for battle, to control our thought activity with the word of God. Peter's talking about the trials of our faith, things such as problems, adverse circumstances, the pressures of life, sickness and disease, heartache and heartbreak, all types of problems, and to renew our minds so when people do us wrong, we will know how to react with a Christ-like spirit. And when these trials come, it appears in the natural that everything seems to go wrong. And when this happens, there's a tendency that we all have, if we're not careful, that we will tend to lead toward the natural rather than putting our total trust in what the Word of God says. We tend to lean that way. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct your path. So when you hear the word of God, we all know that immediately the devil comes to steal the word. And the mind is the battleground. And the battle, it will take place right there between your ears. That's why we're to renew our mind. That's why we're to prepare our minds for action or for battle by developing right mental attitudes. One of the problems that many Christians face is when the trials come, they have not prepared their minds, they have not studied the Word of God, and when troubles come, they just give in to the circumstances of life. They're controlled by their emotions. They're up one day, down the next, and they're never really established in the faith and in what God's Word has to say. The only way that you can cast the devil down and his imaginations and his high thoughts that exalt themselves against the word of God is to prepare your mind for battle. Now, the word gird or prepare, it implies to get ready. In other words, you got to get ready for this thing because the thief is coming. Jesus said he's coming. So you've got to get ready to do something that may be difficult or something that requires strength, supernatural strength, strength beyond the strength that you and I have. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if I can get your thinking straight, I guarantee you one thing, I can get your life straight. Your circumstances don't control your destiny. Your thinking controls your destiny. Let me say that again. Your circumstances do not control your destiny. Your thinking controls your destiny. Your problems do not determine your lot in life. Your thinking determines what you will become in life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And you will never rise above the level of your thinking or your confession of faith. So we've got to prepare our minds for the battle of life. I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm talking about having the Word of God hidden in your heart so that you have the mind of Christ and the spirit of your mind is renewed. We live in a society that loves to make excuses. And one of the favorite excuses I hear all the time is, it's not my fault. People say, I was raised in a dysfunctional family. That's why I'm so negative. Or my spouse walked out on me and I've been rejected. And that's why I'm depressed. Or I lost my loved one and I don't understand it. That's why I'm so angry. No, no, no. The truth of the matter is this. If we're bitter, if we're resentful, it is because we have chosen to be that way. Anyone can make excuses. Anyone can blame others for their bad attitude and for their emotional wounds. Now, I don't mean to minimize bad experiences. We all have them. But if you want to live in victory, you must let go of your past. I had to let go of Vietnam. I had to leave that thing. I don't talk about those bad experiences. I will talk to you something about what happened, but I don't talk about the real bad experiences. My wife asked me, says, Jerry, why do you talk about Vietnam more than you used to? I said, because I can. But I don't live there. I'm not going back there. I don't think about them. They're real. They all happened to me. But that was yesterday. And today is the day that God has given me. And I want to live my life to the fullest extent today. And so I choose to let go of emotional memories of the past. And I choose to live a life of victory. And all of us have emotional hurts and pains. And you have to choose to let go of those things and to take a positive mindset and say, God, I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a season. And you're more interested in my future than you are in my past. So I'm going to live in the present and I'm going to make the best of life. I refuse to go back to those places of hurts and pains emotionally. I refuse to allow the negative things of the past to control my life today. I just refuse to do that. Now, some people have a powerful past and some people have a painful past, but God is the God of now. And one of the scriptures that God used to free me from emotional hurts and memories of the past was this scripture right here, Proverbs 26:20. I hope this helps somebody. Where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. Where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. So if you don't feed a fire, if you don't put any wood on it, guess what? It will go out. Where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. If you just rehearse something over and over and over again, I promise you the devil will add to it. He'll add pain to it. He'll exaggerate the story. You won't tell it true. That's just the way he works. Where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. If you don't retell your stories over and over again, then God, he can't heal you if you don't quit telling those things over and over and over again. He cannot heal your emotional wounds if you want to live in the past. If you will focus on the positive and keep your mind on good things, then God can keep moving you forward to where you can achieve your destiny. God has a plan for each and every one of us. God has a destiny for each and every one of us. So I love what I got a hold of this George Washington Carver. This is a 4-point formula for success. Start where you are. Use what you have. Make something of it and never be satisfied. I realized growing up that I could not start where the Coopers and the Roses were. They were millionaires. Their families were rich. And I didn't come with a silver spoon in my mouth. And I remember my mother telling me, she said, son, don't count on other people to make you successful in life. You work, son, and you can achieve great things. She instilled that inside of me. See, we live in a natural world, but as Christians, we're either controlled by our natural 5 senses or we're controlled by faith. And you've got to know that. This thing will make sense, I promise you. 2 Corinthians 4:18 is talking about the faith realm. Now, let's look at the faith realm. The Apostle Paul says, while we look not at the things which are seen, we're not looking at the temple, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. Your circumstances are temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. And you've got to know that because as a natural realm and a faith realm. Look at Hebrews 11:1. It tells us what faith is. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. While we look not at the things which are not seen, but at the things which are seen, for the things which are not seen are temporal, but things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what is faith? It's the evidence of things not seen. That's the faith realm. And you've got to keep that in mind. So faith is spiritual. And faith is not driven by the natural senses. Faith is driven by one thing, the Word of God. That's why the Apostle Paul said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And if you get enough of God's Word through your mind into your spirit, when something happens, all of a sudden your mind will react according to the Word of God and not according to the natural realm. We're preparing our mind for miracles, okay? We do not doubt in the natural realm what we see because we cannot smell it or we cannot taste it or we cannot feel it. I was talking to Brother Philip today. I said, I see a man outside of my window. He's got a blower in his hand. I can't hear that blower. I can't smell that gasoline. I said, but I can see the effects of that blower. And so the fact that I saw it and I couldn't hear it and I couldn't smell it did not change what I believed. I knew what that man was doing. He was blowing off a driveway, okay? So what you do not see in the natural realm, what you see is not changed by what you smell or what you feel. So why would we doubt what we have taken by faith in the spiritual realm if we cannot see it and we cannot feel it? Do you see the principle? We don't doubt in the natural realm what we cannot touch. I couldn't touch that blower. I couldn't even hear the thing, but I could see with my eyes. One of my 5 senses told me what that man was doing. I didn't doubt a bit what he was doing. So if I take something by faith in the spiritual realm, I don't have to feel it and I don't have to see it to know it's mine. I have the Word of God for it. Faith is my substance. Faith is my evidence. The 5 natural senses belong to the natural man. Now listen to this. The Bible tells us that the natural man cannot know the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. Now this is fresh today. I just penned this part. I had most of this, but I just penned this today. The 5 natural senses belong to the natural realm. And the Bible tells us that the natural man cannot receive the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. So to consult our natural senses for evidence that our prayer has been granted, it's like trying to see with our ears or hear with our eyes. Doesn't make any sense. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were. Faith believes what God's word says in the face of all contrary evidence. And most people cannot live there because they do not know what the word of God says. They think you're a fanatic when you tap into that realm. When you're over there and they're down here, they can't understand what you're operating in. But if you can ever get the word of God into your heart to where the very first thing you think is what the word of God says, then you have been renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's what God wants for us. And so faith calls the things that be not as though they were. Faith believes what God's word says. When you were lost in sin, how did you receive forgiveness and a new birth? Forgiveness and a new birth, they are both invisible. They are invisible. How did you receive forgiveness and a new birth? It was by faith alone. I thought about it. You know, while the stain of sin was still on my breath, I said, I thank God that I'm saved. And I mean, the stain of sin was still there. But until I said it and believed it in my heart, I didn't get it. I mean, you're looking at a man that I started praying about 7 or 8 o'clock at night. I prayed to 3 a.m., fell across my bed exhausted. And then God spoke to me and says, go home to that church you were brought up in. Give your heart to my son, Jesus. I went. I did what God told me. I went to the altar. They didn't give an altar call. I told them, I said, I come to get saved. I'm not leaving this church without Jesus. I went to the altar. I prayed. I stood up. I want a bit more born again than the man in the moon. And my mother said, son, do you have a testimony for Jesus? I said, yes, I do. I told God I was sorry for the way I lived my life. I asked Jesus to come into my heart to wash me in his blood. I knew better than to live the way I'd lived. And I believe God has saved me. And when I said that, boom, the power of God hit me and I was born again. I believed it and I confessed it and I possessed it. And I still got it. Hallelujah. Go on, praise God. You got it. Glory to God. We receive divine healing and miracles and strength and all the other blessings of God in the same way. Now, we know God does have supernatural gifts. We know the prayer of faith. I'm talking about receiving things by your own faith. And you're going to find out in life, if you haven't gotten there yet, that there are some things you're not going to get by somebody else's faith. There comes a time you're going to have to get it by your faith. God will work with you when you're a babe in Christ, but expects us to grow up in God, become strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Any blessing which is received by faith, you must have it in the faith realm before you ever see it manifest in the natural realm. That's why we call them the manifestation gifts. Amen. You've got to have faith. This is how you prepare your mind for miracles. Now, the 10 lepers, I'm going to give you some Bible examples. The 10 lepers, they already had their healing in its unmanifest form when they started out to show the priest that they were healed. Jesus said, do what the law of Moses says. You go show yourself to the priest. And as they started on their journey, I can just see them. One of them looks down and he sees his toes grow back out. He looks down where they went, boom. He said, hey, your nose has come out. And they doing what Jesus said. I'm going back and tell Jesus, hallelujah. And he goes back and Jesus said, where are the other nine? The law required them to go to Moses, to the priest, according to the law of Moses, to get a clean bill of health so they could go back into the society. That's the only way they could do it under that old law. Jesus fulfilled every law and Jesus healed them. And told them, go show yourself. And they weren't healed when he said it as far as physically looking at it. But as they went, they were healed. The man that was blind, he said, you go wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. He couldn't see a thing. Groping through the darkness. Can you show me the way to the pool of Siloam? I met this man called Jesus and he told me to go wash my eyes and I'd be healed. Well, I think it's over there. No, I don't need you to think. Can somebody tell me where the pool of Siloam is, and I'll lead you there. And they take him there, and the man goes and washes his eyes. Boom! And he sees. He already had it because Jesus said, go and receive your sight. To the man with the withered arm, he said, stretch forth your arm. When Jesus said, stretch it forth, it was a done deal. Jesus cursed that fig tree. Didn't look like anything had happened. And he comes back the next day. His disciples say, woo, it's dead. It's a miracle. It's dead from, not from the leaves. It's dead from the root up. It'd have been a miracle if it hadn't have died when Jesus said, curse that tree. See, these things exist in the realm of the spirit. And it's up to us to appropriate them by faith. When Elisha was surrounded by the enemy at Dothan, the Syrian army was around. The angels, they were all there present too. And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes so he can see what I see. And when the Lord opened his eyes, he saw the angels that were camped all around them. The angels had been there all the time. Jesus prayed at Lazarus' tomb. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. In other words, they said, whatever you ask the Father, he'll give it to you, Jesus. Jesus said, Father, I thank you've heard me. Then he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had been dead came forth and lived. When he thanked the Father, that was done. It hadn't manifested itself. And that's the way miracles are. You possess them in the faith realm before you get them in the natural realm. Now, we Pentecostal people, and I'm one of them, I like those instantaneous miracles. I like to say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Boom, and that is. And it's done. And we see that. But the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. So we're to walk in this dimension of faith, and faith calls the things that be not as though they were. And that's how faith works. Hallelujah. Faith has to do only with the unseen and the unfelt. Let me say that again. Faith has to do only with what you do not see and what you do not feel. That's why it's called faith. Hallelujah. And as soon as we have what we prayed for in the faith realm, it ceases to be faith because it's been manifest in the natural realm. I'll never forget when I got my first. Some people don't even think you can get a car like this. But my family, we needed a new car. And I had a little Corvette. And I had a Volkswagen. And we had another car. And we needed a good-sized family car. And I decided I'd get myself a Mercedes-Benz. I mean, that thing was so far out beyond where I was in life. How are you going to get a car like that by faith? I walked to the window one day, and I looked out the second floor and looked down on my driveway. I said, Teresa, I see a Mercedes-Benz sitting down there. I said, praise God, we got a Mercedes-Benz. And ultimately, that car showed up. I told my daddy I was going to get one. He said, how are you going to get a car like that? I said, by faith. He said, what kind are you going to get? I said, I'm going to get one 2 years old. He said, if you're going to get it by faith, why don't you get a new one? I said, I don't have faith for a new one. I got faith for one 2 years old. I'd heard Lester Sumrall preach and say, if you've never believed God for one-tier cake, don't try to believe him for a 10-tier cake. Start with your one-tier cake and work your way up. So I've worked my way up. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Hallelujah. Thank God I got that Mercedes-Benz. When we drove it into the driveway, I stopped. And I told Teresa, I said, Teresa, this car existed in the faith realm. I said, this car is no longer faith. This car is real. We are sitting in it. It is ours. Hallelujah. And I told her, I said, if we ever get another one by faith, it will be now faith. And that's how faith works. I told some people that I don't believe God does things like that. I said, you can believe God any way you want to. I know what God did for me. Hallelujah. Go on, praise the Lord. If you believe him for it, you can have it. Hallelujah. If it's in his word, he says, I wish above all that I may prosper and be in health, even as I've so prospered. Amen. So until the mind is ruled by the word of God and not by the natural senses, you will live in an area of uncertainty. Let me say that again. The mind that is ruled by the senses, it lives in the realm of uncertainty. It is not sure. I am sure that I'm sure. And I know that I know. And I am fully persuaded that heaven is mine. Why do I believe that? Because the word of God says, Jesus said, I've gone away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there even be, may be also. So I know heaven is my eternal home. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. I've got a bubble inside of me. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. I sleep good. I've got joy unspeakable that's full of glory. And where did I get that? All by faith in what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. How do I get my miracles? How do I get my healing? The same way, by believing the word of God. And until you are renewed in the spirit of your mind. I like that. That really caught me. The spirit of your mind. Until you are renewed in the spirit of your mind and God's word gains mastery over your mind will be swayed by your feelings and your mind will be swayed by what you see and what you hear. You will be controlled by, and live as a carnal Christian because you cannot live in the faith realm. God wants us to live in the faith realm. Hallelujah. And I'm determined to live there with God's help. You know, I want to look at the man in the Bible at the pool of Bethesda. I want to show you what a wrong attitude can do. See, everything in your life has to be lined up with the word of God. And I have my flaws and you have yours. And our minds, they have to be renewed, the spirit of our mind. I watched a movie last night. Teresa was watching Flashpoint and I was watching a movie, Western. And I watched that thing for about an hour and 20 minutes. And when I finished, I said, God, I could have been listening to a good sermon. You know, I wonder, Lord, is it all right if I watch a Western? You know, I like those things. It just averts my mind. And I think it's all right with God. But I promise you, I'm going to spend a whole lot more time in the word of God than I am feeding carnal things that don't bless my spirit man. I want my man, spirit man, to be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Look at John 5 and 2. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having five porches. And it lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, and waiting for the moving of the water. An angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first after troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease they had. And a certain man was there. He had an infirmity 38 years. Oh, you've had that so long, there's no hope for you. That's what the devil will tell you. You've been that way for 38 years. You think there's any hope for you? Have you ever heard that voice? I have. Verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew he had been there a long time in that case, he said unto him, will thou be made whole? Then but the man answered, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day, it was the Sabbath. Now, this man, for 38 long years, he had spent every day of his life lying on a mat. He might have been there every day beside that pool, hoping for a miracle. And one day, Jesus came by, and Jesus saw him there. It was obvious that this man was crippled, but Jesus asked him a strange question. He said, do you want to be made whole?
Wonder why.
This man immediately began to make excuses. I'm all alone. I don't have anybody to help me. Other people seem to get in there ahead of me. I don't have a chance in life. No wonder he had been in that condition for 38 years. It was his attitude. And that's what Jesus addressed. What Jesus said in essence was this. If you're serious about getting well, if you really want to get your life in order, then get up off the ground, take up your bed, and be on your way. And when he did what Jesus said, immediately he was healed. But he's like a lot of people. They just say, I never had a chance. Nobody ever cared for me. I came out of a family that was poor. Everybody was poor. Nobody ever owned anything. Nobody ever had a car. Daddy was a drunk. Mother ran with the men. And they want to blame everybody else for their place in life. No, you and I, we are responsible for ourselves. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if I can get somebody's mind straightened out, renewed in the spirit of their mind according to the word of God, I can get their life straight. Because this Bible right here, God says it will bring forth of itself. He said, I watch over that word to perform it. And if I can just teach that to people, they will get it. Hallelujah. So Jesus says, stop making excuses. Stop blaming people or circumstances for your disappointments in life. Start forgiving people that have hurt you. Get on with your life. That's what Jesus was saying. See, many people, I've heard them, you've heard them say, I just don't understand why this happened to me. I don't understand why I got sick. I don't understand why I had that accident. Well, I don't understand, you know, I understand Agent Orange, and I know I was exposed to it in Vietnam. But I know one thing, if I'm going to live, I better rise above it. Hallelujah. I don't understand why my marriage fell apart. I don't know why life has dealt me this lot. Why was I raised in such an abusive environment? You may never know the answer. I may never know the answer. But don't use any excuse in life to wallow in self-pity. Jesus told that man, he said, get up. Get back in the mainstream of life. I think about one of my favorite characters is Blind Bartimaeus. He was by the wayside begging. And Jesus came by. I love that story because Blind Bartimaeus, he can't see a thing. He couldn't see Jesus, but he could hear the crowd. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. See, he wasn't relying. He couldn't see. He couldn't rely on that. But this man is going to have to use his faith. And he cries, Jesus, thou son of David. He recognized him for who he was. Have mercy on me. Jesus kept walking. He cried a little louder. He was not going to be denied. Everybody was saying, shut up, you old beggar. Don't you know that's Jesus of Nazareth? Quit crying out like that. We all want to see Jesus, and you're making all this noise. Be quiet, you old beggar. Jesus, that son of Nazareth, David, have mercy on me. Jesus heard the cry of faith. Jesus stood still. He said, bring him to me. And then this blind man, Jesus wanted to activate his faith. He said, what do you want? What do you want me to do? Love this. Lord. He made him Lord that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto him. Boom. His blind eyes were open. Hallelujah. See, there are many things in life we don't understand, but you've got to prepare your mind for action. And you've got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind if you want miracles from God. See, we're in a season of miracles here at Westmoreland. I mean, we have great testimonies, and I'm looking for more from God. I'm looking for miracles. I'm looking for God's divine favor. But if we're going to continue to experience these things, then we're going to have to prepare our minds to receive the blessings of God. The next move of God will not be a pastor standing up and doing it all. It won't be some man that God exalts. The body of Christ will rise up, according to Ephesians 4. They will be equipped. They will be taught. I've got great teachings on the gifts of the Spirit. I know them. I can teach you about demon spirits. I've studied it, and I've studied it, and I've studied it. I don't even teach that to most people because they're looking for a devil behind every tree. Well, it just doesn't work that way. But just be prepared when you face one and the Holy Ghost lets you know you can't heal that person if you cast that spirit out. Be ready to deal with it. And don't think people will like you for it either, because sometimes it's their pet pig. I've had this pig a long time. I don't want you touching that. You can touch anything else in my life, but don't you touch my pig. Hey, piggy, 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 piggy. I love you, little pig. Some people love their habits. They won't put them down. They don't ever intend to put them down. They'll die and not put them down. And that's just the way it is. So your heart and your mind must be in agreement. Your mind is like a computer. Did you know your mind works like a computer? And it brings up scripture. And if you've heard the word of God about prosperity, guess what? When you can't pay a bill, and you've heard all these seed time, harvest time principles we teach here, all of a sudden that thing's going to just come up into your mind, and you're going to say, I know how to get out of this thing. I'll give my way out. That's what I did. My wife lost her job, and I took the word of God. I said, God, I'm getting out of this thing. I said, I'm going to give my way out of it. And I started giving radically. And I read in Romans chapter 13 about the gift of giving. I said, God, I want that gift. If I got it, I can give it. If I don't have it, I can't give it. If I got gifts of healing, I can get you healed. If the gift is operating, if the gift of giving and sowing and reaping, and ever since I got saved, from the moment I got saved, I said, God, what's wrong with my life? God said, son, you've sown bad seed. Sow to my word and I'll bless your life. And that was my introduction to seed time, harvest time. And I've been building on that and building on it. And I teach it to other people. One of the greatest thrills I have is to watch people get new cars and get jobs and prosper. And I say, oh, praise God, they got it. It's like Jesus, when Jesus come back and the 70 had been out preaching and they said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name. Jesus said, that's just a small thing. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning out of heaven. He said, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. And the Bible says in that hour, Jesus leaped for joy. For one solid hour, literally, Jesus said, they got it. They got it. Praise God, they got it. Hallelujah, they got it. They got it. They got it. And Jesus was excited. And that's what I want to see the church do. Get excited about the things of God. Hallelujah. A crisis in your life and my life is nothing more than an instrument of Satan to try our faith. And when you gird up the loins of your mind, your willpower will rise up. And your faith in God will rise up. And it will bring the victory. It's the same thing with sickness. The mind plays an important part in getting healed. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Whose report are you going to believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. The pain is real. The doctor's x-rays are real. The physical evidence is real, but what does the word of God have to say? God said, forget not all his benefits. He forgives all our sin. He heals all our disease. He supplies all our need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I may not be possessing everything that I want to because of what I'm going through. But while we look not at the things which are seen, the things which are seen are temporal. Things which are not seen, my faith. You can't see my faith unless I'm acting it out. You don't know what my faith will do. I don't know what your faith will do. And people said, well, you're just going to be so disappointed, Jerry. I said, not me. You go on your faith and I go on mine. I just go down the road praising God. I got it. I got it. Hallelujah. It's mine. It's mine. Thank God. I got it. Hallelujah. And that's the way faith talks. If you talk to negative, the devil will steal your blessing. Life and death in the power of your tongue. I want to give you this before I start because I don't even know where it is in my notes. But anyway, I can quote it. If you put Mark 11:22 up there, Jesus said, have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. Our next verse. But shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Then he says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Jesus is saying, whatever you've asked for in prayer, believing, if you believe it, keep on believing. Because if you said it according to God's word and you believe it, then you have it. You lose it when you say, oh, it doesn't look like I'm healed. I don't feel like I'm healed. I'll never forget that kidney stone and a lot of other things, but I hadn't thought about it. When was I healed? I was healed when I really believed. I walked, got out of that bed, that thing cut me, walked down a flight of stairs, walked over to the kitchen where Teresa was, and I said, Teresa, I'm healed. I said, God just spoke to me. I'm healed. He said, get out of the bed, and I got out of the bed, and I walked. And that thing was cutting me. And I turned around to walk to the bathroom. I had that little strainer, little funnel with a strain in it, and I urinated it in it. And when I did, I passed that stone. It was broken down. When did it break down? It was cutting me. It broke down when I believed. I said, I am healed. And I turned and walked into that bed. And in less than... 5 yards, boom, that thing was healed. I'm going to end with this story right here because there are so many things that can keep you from getting your miracle. This is one of them. Search me, O God, try me. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Listen closely. This is for someone here. I heard this story about a Methodist minister. He was a member of John Osteen's church, not Joel, John, his daddy. And John started Lakewood Church. But this retired Methodist minister was so crippled with arthritis, he could barely use his hands. His hands were so deformed that he couldn't even open a car door. But one day he went to John's office and showed him his hands. He said, look at my hands. They were perfectly healed. And Pastor O.C. said, man, what in the world has happened to you? And the former minister said, it's a very interesting story, Brother John. He said, several months ago, you were preaching about forgiveness. And you were telling how it keeps us from getting our prayers answered. He said, and as I listened, I began to ask God to show me if I had any area of unforgiveness or any resentment in my heart. He said, God began to deal with me. Think about the hurts of your past now. He began to show me several situations that had happened down through the years when people had done me great harm and had wronged me in churches I pastored. I didn't even know it, but I still had anger and resentment in my heart toward those people. The odd part about it is, Pastor, I didn't even know that I was carrying this thing around. But as soon as I saw it, I made a decision to forgive those people and to totally let them go. And then the most amazing thing began to happen. One by one, my finger straightened out. 1 week, this finger got healed. Another week went by, and this finger got healed. Another week in this one. And pretty soon, I looked, and my whole body was healed. He said, I continued to search my heart to eliminate all the bitterness, to eliminate all the resentment, and God brought total healing to me. Can you imagine that? All the prayers that have been prayed. We fast 21 days every year at the first of the year to set the course for the rest of the year for miracles. But can you imagine something like resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness being in your heart? And all of us, we get offended at people. Jesus could not do any mighty works in his own hometown because they were offended at what? At his word. And if we're not careful, that can enter our hearts and keep us from getting our miracle from God. The devil, the Bible says, be as wise as a serpent, as harmless as a dove. The devil will appear as an angel of light, make you dislike people that you should love, make you bitter when you should let life circumstances train you and make you better. They got a saying in the Marine Corps, I've lived by it. It says, whatever doesn't kill me, I refuse to let it make me bitter. I just let it make me better. Let us stand.
He was wounded for our transgression.
Preparing your mind for miracles.
He was bruised for our iniquity.
You've got to do it.
But he,
I've got to prepare mine.
Surely he bore our sorrow, and by his stripes we are healed.
Pastor, I was thinking tonight when you were preaching about faith. Faith is simply believing and judging God faithful concerning his promises.
Amen.
That's what faith is.
That's what it is.
Judging God faithful that he'll do what he said he would do.
That's right.
That's what faith is. Just believe and judge God faithful concerning his promises.
Amen.
Every promise. Praise God. You ain't got to try to work it up. Just believe God is faithful concerning his promises.
Says, all the promises of God in him are yes.
Amen.
And the amen,
amen
is spoken by us to bring glory to God. Faith says it's so when it's not so. This is my definition. So it can be so because God said it's so. Faith says it's so when it's not so. So it can be so because God said it's so.
Transgression.
Hallelujah.
He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely he bore our sorrow, and by his stripes we are healed.